Welcome to Tip TV Finance, where I'm joined by Sean Richards from Not a Yes Man Economics. How are you today, Sean?
Good, thank you.
Lots on the, well, lots in terms of the political scene. Obviously, we're in the run-up to the general election. Anything in the economics area?
I think that there are quite a few things, actually. If we look through, one of the things that just leaps out to a sort of ageing bond trader like me is the fact that the UK gilt yield benchmark, 10 years, less than 1% this morning, so you conclude from that and old era thinking that the world's a sort of place where nothing could possibly happen for quite some time. Less than 1% is quite extraordinary. What happened to old era things like worry about an election, making things more expensive and so on? That just is a signal of what extraordinary times we're in. I mean, the pound has been 129 for about the last week, 10 days, hasn't it? So financial markets are cruising into what might be big changes tomorrow, just implying that it's calm sailing.
Well, one of the great phrases of the election campaign has been this magic money tree. I put it to you that less than 1% on the gilt yield is a magic money tree.
In some respects that it is, but then of course we get to the thing that we're in this situation partly because the Bank of England's bought 435 billion of these. So, the old era thing of people selling it doesn't quite work because they know the central bank will just step in and ramp the market, create a false market.
Right. So basically, the bank is actually has manipulated the yields down to these levels, and that's why, as there's no proper trading in these instruments, they can basically decide whatever figure they want.
It's pretty much, I mean, it's going a bit far to say that they entirely control this because, of course, there's world events too driving yields down. Also, other central banks doing the same thing. But in principle here, it's been an extraordinary shift. I had someone I noticed put out numbers earlier saying the Bank of Japan now owns 43% of the Japanese government bond market. Yesterday, subject I covered was the fact of it being the sort of Tokyo whale now in the Japanese equity market, buying so much of that and expanding its purchases out there. I think I had the number right. I think it's something like, is it 15 trillion yen now? There's so many zeros there, it's hard to keep up. But enormous scale.
Basically, they've by buying these markets, buying so much of them, they've effectively closed them down.
Yes.
So it's no longer a proper market in bonds. There's a very funny one in the equity markets, pretty dodgy in the currency area as well. I mean, this is a whole new experiment, which, in fact, they're doing more of and they're quite happy with as well.
There is, and yet there are signs of issues here because, for example, if you look at the Japanese situation and you apply the thing, the yen should be collapsing, except it's strengthening. It's moved towards 109 sort of overnight this morning. And so that's odd. You could argue that with what the European Central Bank's doing, the euro should be weakening, except recently it's been strengthening up to 112 against the US dollar. Obviously, it's stronger against the pound for various reasons. So there's a lot of things in play. That's before you get to something like Bitcoin that seems to keep reaching new highs.
That's a quality product, that is.
Yes, but you see, in a way, that's a sign at the time.
Is that real? People are piling into something like that. That's the real goal, isn't it, now?
Feels like that.
Because, obviously gold is not gold, because every time it goes up a bit, somebody sells $3 billion of it on the COMEX exchange. So it just keeps a bit of a lid on it. And obviously the currencies and everything else with interest rates near zero. I mean, it's a very false game.
Yeah, and of course I think also people are afraid that in the next downturn we'll get more negative interest rates. And so pressure will come on paper money. Maybe in some form that will be withdrawn.
But given how much central banks and governments control the financial markets, it's almost impossible for them to fall now, isn't it? Impossible to fail, and then, too big to fail, now impossible to fall, because they're holding it up, like Charles Atlas.
It can do, of course, but then value changes, isn't it? This is a big issue thing of the difference between price and value, that you see that we could have a lot of inflation, and yet they keep it at a certain price, but it's worth a lot less by the time you come and try and buy something.
Right. One of the headlines today we were just discussing before we came on was the RBS situation. Is that something that you think has now been finally resolved?
No. I think personally, if we start from the beginning, that's a disgrace on so many levels. For a start, why has it taken nearly 10 years for there to be a settlement? That's an issue. Next, we have the whole issue with the banking industry, in effect, almost being a law to itself. Okay, so it settles the bill for £1 billion. So current RBS shareholders are settling with old RBS shareholders. Some of them will be the same people, presumably. How does any of that work? The people actually responsible for wrongdoing, if there was any, I believe there was, obviously that's a legal issue, where are they? Like, shred the thread.
Well, presumably, if there was no wrongdoing, there would be no reason to settle with these people.
Well, exactly. So why are they paying out? The whole thing on so many levels is wrong. Yeah, tomorrow we'll go and vote in an election, or, you know, a lot of people watching here will. But a really important issues like this, where have they been? In fact, where's economics been full stop in the general election? It's been so little, hasn't it?
Well, it's very complicated and people don't understand it, do they? That seems to be the case. I mean, it's much easier just to talk about what people will get out of the economy, i.e. The welfare or the benefits or, I don't know, supermarket prices, which people understand, but not the bigger picture.
Well, I think that's certainly true of the politicians, but I think that's a bit harsh on the ordinary person who's mostly capable of doing a bit of thinking, I think.
So, I mean, let's say the Conservatives win with a 60-seat majority. We continue as usual, kicking a few cans down the road, kicking the debt can down the road with nearly £2 trillion of national debt. But interest rates are so low, we can keep doing this for 10 years, 5, 10 years?
Right, with interest rates here, then we can roll on like that. Actually, this year, the danger for the UK has been the rise in inflation because we've got a reasonable amount of index-linked gilt. So I think it's about 22% of the total last time I checked. And of course, with inflation going higher, that's been expensive. Last month's public finances showed that there was a rise in debt costs. It's not from ordinary gilts, as we just discussed, that's cheap, but it must be, therefore, index-linked gilts that are poisoning. So for the UK, inflation is also an issue.
Well, we shall see what happens after tomorrow. Sean Richards from Not a Yes Man Economics, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.